tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world. And I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left.
Standard, the power of his blood, the battle belongs to the Good morning, Hope Show listeners. I hope all of you have had a blessed week, and I'm so happy that all of you can join me today, and I'm happy to be here, sharing a portion of my Saturday with all of you. I probably sound pretty funny today. I've been battling a cold for the last week, and yesterday my voice was nearly gone. And so say a little prayer for me this morning, folks, that my voice will hold out and that I won't have a coughing fit in the middle of our show today. Today's message came to me from a very inspiring movie I watched a few nights ago. Some of you may have seen it, and others may have only heard about it. If you haven't seen this movie, I highly recommend it. As a rule of thumb, I don't usually watch movies more than once or twice. It has to be a really, really amazing movie for me to watch it more than that. But this movie is one of those movies that I could definitely see myself watching over and over again. The name of this movie is War Room. The leading actress, Priscilla Shire, is also a well-known author, motivational speaker, and Christian evangelist. She is one of my favorite motivational speakers. Let me tell you a little about this movie. For those of you who may not have watched the movie, I promise I won't give away all the details for those of you who still might want to see the movie. It's about a married couple, Tony and Elizabeth Jordan, and their one daughter. Both have great jobs and their dream house, but appearances can be deceiving. Their world is actually crumbling under the strain of a falling marriage. While Tony basks in his professional success and flirts with temptation, Elizabeth resigns herself to increasing bitterness, but their lives take an unexpected turn when Elizabeth meets her new client, Miss Clara. Miss Clara gets to know Elizabeth better and challenges her to establish a war room and a battle plan of prayer for her family. As Elizabeth tries to fight for her family, Tony's hidden struggles come to light. Tony, then, must decide if he will make amends to his family and prove Miss Clara's wisdom that victories don't just come by accident. When Elizabeth first met Miss Clara, she thought Miss Clara was a little overbearing, a little pushy, and kind of strange in some of her beliefs. Elizabeth believed that there is a God, but beyond that, that's about as far as it went. This was supposed to be a professional business deal between the two ladies, but God had other plans for Miss Clara and Elizabeth. As time went on, it became not only a business deal, but a friendship. Miss Clara became Elizabeth's mentor. Even though this is only a movie for entertainment, it's also oftentimes very real for married couples today. Maybe you are one of those people experiencing something similar right now. All of us have something going on in our lives that we just don't know what to do about. It doesn't matter who you are or where you stand in your beliefs. Believers and non-believers alike experience times when life can get us down and we start to lose hope. Maybe a family member faces a deadly disease. Your neighbor desperately needs Jesus, but turns away every time you try to share Christ with them. A nation is crumbling because people follow the broad path and turn to things of this world that are not good for us. There are so many things in the world that disrupt our lives. Family disturbances, natural disasters, economic changes, life events, a breakdown of community resources, someone contemplating suicide, and the list goes on and on. What can we do about it? Often the problems we face seem too big for us. No matter how much we try, we cannot solve them on our own. It's times like these that we need to turn to the Lord more than ever. We need an intercession. An intercession, folks, is the act of intervening on behalf of another. There are many ways in which you can experience an intercession, but today I want to talk about God's intercession in our lives. I'm not trying to come off as pushy with my beliefs, or to sound as if I know it all, or that I even insinuate that I even have all my life together. I'm still a work in progress, folks, just like all of you out there. I know there are many people who listen to my show every week from all walks of life and with different beliefs than my own. That is okay, too. We don't all have to agree with one another, but God does call us to love and respect one another. The reason I spend so much time sharing God's word and hope and encouragement and love to all of you is because I believe and I trust so passionately in my heart the things that I speak of every week. The word of God and his promises to us are real, and he does make a difference in our life, folks, if we just choose to listen. Have you ever been worried and stressing about something going on in your life? Have you ever played the scene over and over in your mind, and you're still not any closer to a resolution? Do you feel as if you're going in circles in your mind? Are you feeling hopeless and helpless? Are you losing sleep over it at night? Does your situation seem impossible? May I tell you that with God, nothing is impossible, folks. If you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. A mustard seed is pretty small, right? But that is all it takes to ignite a new beginning in your life. Faith is so simple. Why does everyone try to complicate it? Maybe people complicate it because they feel as if they would lose control over their lives. I do believe that it does have mostly to do with the control factor and how people perceive it. I also believe a lot of people don't understand how faith works. Faith isn't about control. Faith is about release, the turning loose of all attachments, having faith in God completely. Completely letting loose of something is difficult if you've not relied on or fully trusted in God before. And even with people, perhaps your spouse or a friend, if you've had trust issues in the past, it becomes really hard to rely on someone or trust someone. Even for believers, it can still be difficult at times. That is our human nature trying to make it all about the control. If only we could all go back to our very early years in life, when we were filled with the innocence of a child. I know some of us didn't have a good childhood, or good examples for parents. A lot of us did have good parents, though. But perhaps, if not a parent, there was that one person of authority in your life that you trusted over anyone else in your life. Trusted so completely. Someone you knew who truly had your back, stood up for you, took care of you, was a good role model, and saw that your life was better. Think of that. Think of that one person who never lied to you, always kept their promises, stayed by your side when the chips were down, and loved you unconditionally. Hopefully we all had someone that we had complete love and trust in, that stood out way above all the others in our life. Now, think about this for a moment, folks. If you went to this person and you asked for anything and they promised you something, didn't you believe with childlike faith and innocence that they would come through for you? Did you worry about how you were going to eat or where the food was going to come from? If someone promised you that they would take you to the park or buy you a toy, or let your friends come over and play, or take you clothes shopping, did you doubt that they would actually do it? Did you stress out over whether it would happen or not? Did you worry about where you were going to sleep that night? That's what I'm talking about, folks. To most of these questions, you probably answered that you didn't question that person's sincerity or love or what they told you, even in the slightest. That's faith, folks. I know life changes as we get older, and it can have an impact on our behaviors, attitudes, trust, etc. But that doesn't have to be so with the Lord. When did we stop believing in those that we love or humanity? What happened to us to make us so distrusting, so bitter, so callous to the things or people around us? It's never too late to believe again, with that same childlike faith and innocence from your very early years. God gave us biological parents, and sometimes they fail us. People in general fail us, disappoint us, make us feel bad, make us lose trust and faith. No one is perfect, not even us. It's called being human. Stop putting all your faith in the things and the people of this world. They might not mean to let you down, but at some point in your life, they will. But the one thing that remains constant, true, unfailing, unfaltering, consistent, and you can put your faith in, is the Almighty God, your Heavenly Father and Creator. Some of you may be thinking to yourselves right now that He, too, has failed you many times or caused things to go wrong in your life. Why should you believe in God? Folks, it is not God that created your problems. It all stems back from your own free will to make certain choices in the people in your life who have failed you. You are putting your faith in the wrong place. You are setting yourself up for failure. In Luke 17:5-6, the Bible says, "The apostles said to the Lord, 'Make our faith greater.' The Lord answered, 'If you have faith as big as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, pull yourself up by the roots and plant yourself into the sea, and it would obey you.'" Faith doesn't come in varying quantities. It doesn't have to be something specific like 16 ounces, 13 ounces, or supersized. Any size of faith can accomplish much. I have a little story I want to share with you. It's so true of what people oftentimes think about faith. This is where people fall into the trap of Satan's lies. So listen carefully. One day, there was a woman whose mother was diagnosed with cancer. She began to pray for her mother's healing. She thought she had great faith. She was certain that if she prayed for healing and that the cancer would be removed from her mother's body, it was removed, then she would get better. She prayed and she prayed. She believed. Her mother still got worse. So the woman prayed even harder, pleading with God for bigger faith. She started to doubt her own faith. Maybe she didn't have enough faith. Maybe she didn't have the faith of a mustard seed. Otherwise, her mother's healing would have come sooner. She kept praying and pleading that God would grant her more faith, greater faith, faith big enough to heal her mother. Yet the mother continued to grow worse. On the night before her mother died, the woman sat by her mother's bedside. All her church family were gathered outside her mother's hospital room, some on their knees, some standing with their arms raised in the air, everyone believing and seeking to turn their mustard seed-sized faith into something bigger, something more deserving of God's attention, so that they could have better results, bigger results, and heal the woman from cancer. The mother died the following morning. The woman quit going to church. For many years she lived with her own resentment toward the whole matter. She blamed God for not saving her mother. She blamed herself for not having adequate faith, deserving of God's compassion and healing for her mother. It is understandable, folks, what she was feeling, and maybe some of you out there have experienced that too. Her guilt turned her away from God. She didn't necessarily not believe in God anymore, but like so many people who have been hurt, they want to strike out against something, and so it must be God's fault. So many people get hurt by a misunderstanding of their own beliefs. In this instance, she was misled in her belief that if she only had enough faith, her mother would have been healed. When she died, instead, the woman was left with the confusion that her mother's death was her fault, the consequence of having too little faith. This is such a perversion of what Jesus was actually trying to say about the faith of a mustard seed. Everyone has the capacity to believe, to trust. It is thought to be written into the genetic code of our DNA. From an early age, this capacity is reinforced by our parents, caregivers, grandparents, and others. Faith and trust naturally grow in us. It expands, and it germinates in our heart, just like the mustard seed germinates. Infants and children come into this world with that strong faith intact. We are totally dependent on our caregivers and completely trusting of them. But if trust or faith is undermined, then the more often this happens, our capacity to believe, to trust, is weakened and hindered. In some cases, it could take a lifetime to restore. Folks, we live under the illusion that we have control over our circumstances. Instead of living from a place of trust, living free and in God's will, faith is simple, folks. Release the illusion you have of your control, and instead release the inner permission to allow God to come into your life and let His goodness, His plan, unfold naturally. I think this is a good place to stop for a short break. And so this first song you will be listening to is Impossible by Building 429.
No such thing as impossible. stop bleeding, until your heart stops kick drum beating. When it's hard times, when it's long days, and the enemy is right up in your face. When your back's against the ropes, and you're feeling all alone. Keep fighting the good fight. Keep letting your light shine. 'Cause I'm never gonna leave you, always gonna see you through to the other side. Keep fighting the good, fighting the good, fighting the good fight, good fight. Even in the roadblocks, even through the rough spots, when you're feeling you're giving all that you got, I'm with you in the next step, giving you the next breath. I'll be the voice saying you're gonna make it. When you're out there on your own, you are never alone. Keep fighting the good.
Welcome back, Hope Show listeners. I hope you all enjoyed the music during the break. That's right, folks. Nothing is impossible with God. And we have to keep fighting the good fight. We can't keep letting this world get us down and make us lose our faith. If you are just tuning in today, the message is about keeping the faith. Faith is very important. The Bible talks about faith 378 times in the New King James Version and 458 times in the New International Bible. I further went on to look up how many times the Bible talks about love. The Bible mentions love 310 times. And so faith outnumbers love, but they are two top most important things. As you can see, having faith is really a big deal. The Bible is our instruction manual for living. It has an answer for every question. You have to have the desire to seek His guidance, to find the answers. Everyone is on a personal journey. Don't go ask your friends how to fix your problem. They are only human. Therefore, they could unintentionally give you bad advice. If honest, wise, biblical truths and answers to your life questions is what you seek, then go to the good book and take the time to pray and seek out those answers. If you think I'm talking out the side of my mouth, then I challenge you to go to the Bible and do some reading. If you're not Bible savvy, then use your smartphone to look up the verses. If you don't have a cell phone or a computer, then you'll just have to go back and do it the old-fashioned way and read the Bible. For example, maybe you are burnt out on something in your life. Maybe you are tired and you want to quit. You feel like your strength is being depleted. Maybe you feel as if you are so tired you don't have anything more to give of yourself. If you have access to a computer or smartphone, type in the search engine the word Bible or tired or week. It will give you a list of verses that you can look up in the Bible. I took the liberty of looking this up for you. Here is a few verses I came up with. In Psalm 138:7, though I walk in the midst of our trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thy hand, and thy right hand shall save me. Isaiah 40:29, he gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases their strength. And Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Folks, those are only a few verses. You can't help feeling better, more encouraged, strengthened, and renewed after reading and spending time in God's Word. I want you to back up for a moment and revisit our conversation about intercessions. An intercession prayer asks God for your needs and the needs of others. But it means so much more than that. Intercession involves taking hold of God's will and refusing to let go until His will comes to pass. Intercession is warfare. This brings me back to the very beginning when I said that today's message was inspired by the movie War Room. Intercession is the key to God's battle plan for our lives. But the battleground is not of this earth. The Bible tells us in Ephesians that we are not fighting against humans. We are fighting against forces and authorities, against rulers of darkness and spiritual powers. Intercession prayer takes place in the spiritual world, where the battles of our own lives, our families, our friends, and our nation are won or lost. Folks, we need a battle plan for our life. We can't change the people around us. We can't change our spouse, our neighbor, our coworker, our friend. We can't control what goes on around us that's of the world or the circumstances that we might find ourselves in. But if you want to do something about whatever's happening in your life, then it starts with you, folks. Your way of thinking and handling and responding to things. You are responsible for you, not everyone else. And like the movie, I challenge you to find a space to call your own. A private, quiet, peaceful place of solitude. That place may be your closet, a special place you always go to sit outdoors, a specific chair or corner of your living room. It may be early in the morning, while it's still dark outside, before you even get out of bed, before you even turn on the lights. You're just laying there in bed in complete darkness. It might be in your mechanic shop, out back in the backyard, or even while you're mowing the lawn or driving your tractor. It just needs to be a place where no one will bother you when you are at that place. Then start praying your intercession prayers. Don't be thinking about, why should I be here doing this? If only so-and-so would change, I wouldn't be having these problems in the first place. Or if only something else. It starts with you, folks. You fill in the blanks. Stop thinking about the if-onlys and start thinking about what you are going to do to make a change to improve your situation. If you're born again, you are God's child, and you have a direct hotline to Him. At any time, you can boldly come into His presence. It's never too late to ask God to come into your life, if you haven't already. He takes you just as you are, no matter how good or bad your past looks. He doesn't require you to already be perfect. He will transform you and renew you. He is the potter, and you are His clay. Submit to Him and let Him work a mighty work in your life. Once you have sought God in your private place, in God's presence, you can now discover His battle plan for the situation you are facing. But prayer alone is not enough, folks. You need a specific target for your prayers. Intercession prayers are a very serious matter. Like soldiers, we cannot take on the enemy if we leave our weapons behind. The Bible is full of God's promises, and God hears all of our prayers. But it really turns his ear when he hears you quoting his promises. He has to listen when you remind him of his promises. When you begin to do spiritual battle, something coming up against you, take comfort in knowing that you are not alone. Jesus intercedes on your behalf. Intercession prayer is a prayer that never gives up. It's the kind of prayer that endures all setbacks and overcomes every obstacle. It's prayer that keeps pressing on until we apprehend God's will in the situation that we are facing. Jesus says in Luke 10, "Everyone who asks will receive. Everyone who searches will find. And the door will be opened for everyone who knocks." That means never give up praying, trusting, having faith, seeking, or knocking on God's door. In God's perfect timing, your persistence in prayer will reap a spiritual harvest in your life and in the lives of those around you. When someone knocks on your door at home, don't you look out the window through a peephole or something to determine who is at the door before you open it? If you knew the person at the door intended to harm you or your loved one, would you let them in? Of course not. In the same way, Satan is looking around seeking to steal, destroy, and kill. Don't let him in your heart or your head. Say, "No thanks, devil. As far as for me and my family, we serve the Lord, and there is no place here for you." Remember, though, if something does bad happen, or something to you or to a loved one, God will use it to accomplish something good and greater in your life later on. You may not think there is a will or a way, but what God will see you through it, and his plans for our lives are always better than our own. In Matthew, the Bible tells us, "According to our own faith, be it unto us." Folks, I want to ask you today, what size is your faith? God has already given us the power within to move mountains, our own personal mountains, and to heal the sick. We can't move those mountains simply by an act of our own will. We have to have faith. It has to be given to us by Jesus, by the way of the Holy Spirit working in us. So let's go back to the movie again. Tony and Elizabeth's marriage was failing. Tony was really cocky about his career. He started to have wandering eyes for other women. He was seldom home, claiming his work was the cause. Excuse me. She felt resentful and bitter. She had a choice to make: leave him after many years together, or to give wise old Miss Clara's suggestion a try. Elizabeth was skeptical. She didn't really know the Lord. She had no idea what she was doing, or should be doing. But she decided to give God a chance. She didn't want to lose her marriage or give up on it. Miss Clara told Elizabeth to find that private place in her house and start praying for her husband instead of being resentful and bitter. "Don't try to fix him herself." That's what Miss Clara said. "Let God have him." Miss Clara told her to write down her prayers. Remember, intercession prayers, praying on behalf of another. Believe with all your heart that what you are praying for will happen if it's following God's will. And leave no room for doubt. That's one of the most important things, people. Leave no room for doubt when you have faith. Do not let your mind wander to thoughts of if it happens, but instead believe and know that you know that you know. Without a shadow of a doubt, it's only a matter of time when it happens. I once read something that said, pray like it is so, even if it is not so, so that one day it will be so. And I love that. That is true faith. The Bible says, do not let your heart be troubled. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Take therefore no thought for the next day. Today is sufficient enough. A wise man once said, worry never robs tomorrow of its sorrow. It only saps today of its joy. In Deuteronomy 29:29, the Bible says, the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever. This truth is so simple. Our lives are divided into two parts. Half is what God keeps secret, and the other half is what God reveals to us. With the one half, He has entrusted us with His knowledge. But God keeps some things secret. We don't know why. We don't always understand. And we don't always like it. Living by faith means accepting the limits of revelation and affirming the reality of revelation. There will be things that happen in your life that make absolutely no sense to you. You cannot work them out in your head. You may attempt to do things in your own strength, but you will be frustrated, confused, and you will fail. It might even go so far as to make you want to throw your hands up in the air and just give up. But God knows everything. Folks, faith still lives, even with unanswered questions. Faith stands on the promises God reveals to us. The Bible says, we live by faith and not by sight. Here are some of the seven secrets that belong to the Lord. The Lord is not going to tell us what the future of our children is. He's not going to tell you why you are suffering. He is not going to tell you the manner in which you will die. He's not going to tell you about the salvation of your loved ones if and when that time comes. He's not going to tell you about the events of tomorrow. He's not going to tell you the outcome of your daily ministries or future ministries. And He's not going to reveal to you the progress of your Christian walk. This covers pretty much everything. But on the opposite side of these same things that God keeps secret from us, He also promises us something for each of those. You may be asking yourself, what does that mean? Here are some of God's promises that we can rest on. Though we may not know the future of our children, we do know that God is faithful. He will be there for them as He has been there for us. We may not know why some painful things happen to us, but we do know that these tribulations are only temporal and cannot be compared to the joy of eternity spent with Him later. We don't know how we will die, but we do know that to be away from the body is to be at home with the Lord. We don't know if our friends and family will be saved, but we do know that God saves people who are not looking to be saved. He won't give up trying to reach them. God doesn't need permission to intercede in your loved ones' lives. We don't know what tomorrow brings, but we know who holds tomorrow in His hand. The Bible says numerous times, do not worry about your life. Don't live a life that is consumed by worry, lack of trust, or lack of faith. Don't worry about the things you don't control and cannot change. Live for God. Go after His righteousness with all that you have every day for the rest of your life. Leave tomorrow in God's hands. We don't know what God will do through our ministries, but we do know that we need to stand firm and let nothing move us. We don't know what progress we will make in our walk with the Lord, but we do know that we can look back in at our past self and say, I'm not who I used to be, and I'm not yet where I hope to be. Dead faith may at first look like living faith, but in reality it is whitewashed. Dead faith looks the part of a living faith, but down under the surface of facade, it is full of fear, lacking in love, infertile, meaning nothing good grows there, static, white noise, without action or deed. Living faith is active, growing, good fruit producing, full of love, full of conviction and repentance. So I ask you folks today, what faith are you sowing in your life? As Elizabeth continued to pray for her husband in their marriage, things started to happen in Tony's life. His attitude toward Elizabeth started to get better. He started staying home more often, becoming more involved with all of their daily lives and the lives of his daughter. It became a happier home. He stopped looking at other women with a wandering eye. He had some shady dealings with his workplace, and he did lose everything but his family. It would all work out, though. And it did. The point of writing down your prayers and posting them to your wall is not only to keep track of your prayers, but also to track your personal victories over Satan's awful lies in your life. Folks, you have to believe in something. So why not believe in our Heavenly Father? You can believe in a lot of different things in this world. There are a lot of false gods and prophets out there in this world today. But if you are not standing on God's promises and applying His word to your life, keeping the faith, then you don't truly have a foundation to stand on, and you will fail. Let me ask all of you a question. What do you think would happen if you stopped worrying about something? Do you think that your world would fall apart? What do you think would happen if you started trusting in someone again? Do you think you'd get hurt and fall again? What would happen if you took all that energy that you put into negativity and having no faith or trust in people and turned that into something positive for your life? Would that really be so horrible? Don't keep holding on to that anchor that's weighing you down from your past. Don't let your past define who you're going to be right now. Whatever happened in the past is in the past. Let it go. And start believing, trusting, and having faith, childlike, innocent faith, again. Just because one part of your life wasn't so great, doesn't mean you have to live like it's still happening to you today. You don't have to allow certain things from your past to keep you bitter, not trusting people and blaming God. Don't let that be your excuse or your crutch for your actions. Today and every day is a fresh new day. Dare to have the faith of a mustard seed, folks. If something is going on in your life and you don't know what to do about it, if things seem to be falling apart in your life, if you're hurting over a lost loved one or a lost relationship, maybe you're in a legal battle and you can't see any way out of this mess. Maybe you really want that promotion at work. Maybe that girl or guy that you have your eyes on doesn't even know you exist. Maybe your car is broke down and you have no money to fix it. Maybe you have to move. Maybe someone is sick in your family or you are sick. Maybe the doctor's prognosis doesn't look good. Can I say this, folks? We serve an awesome God, and He is more than capable of handling any problem that you have, big or small. You just have to trust in Him. Keep the faith strong. Don't give up. And keep them prayers coming. God is amazing, and He is abundant, adequate, comfort, compassion, courage, devoted, extraordinary, excellent, faithful, forgiving, generous, a great healer, miracle worker, way maker, promise keeper, merciful, protector, supernatural, our strong tower and refuge, spotless, sanctified teacher, our truth, unfailing, and our victory. If those words don't inspire you, I don't know what will. I'm going to close this show in a prayer. Lord, many times we have no idea where our lives are headed. It seems like our life is spinning out of control. Situations come our way that we cannot face alone. Decisions need to be made, and we do not know which is the right choice. Obstacles seem insurmountable. Enemies seem unbeatable. We feel scared and alone. Lord, You are with us every step of the way, and yet we still lose faith. We forget Your promises to us to never leave nor forsake us. Lord, right now, we cannot excuse me. Lord, right now, please don't give up on us. Let us help us to overcome them, our obstacles and our fears, by trusting in Your presence and power that you make available to us in every task. Help us to worry less and focus more on admitting our weaknesses and submitting to Your plan for our life. Faith and prayer are invisible, but they make impossible things possible. Lord, as we go about our week, please keep Your hedge of protection around us, our families, our home, and our very minds, where the battle begins. Give us strength in our weakness and faith in our fear. We are trusting You, Lord. And all God's people said, Amen. Thank you for joining me today on the Hope Show. I'm sorry it went over a little bit, but it was an important message. So I leave you with these two songs, Crazy Faith by John Waller and Waymaker by Michael W. Smith. Until next time, same place, God bless each and every one of you this week.
Hear You really want me. that mountain and tell it just to move. This is crazy, yeah. I'm trusting, 'cause with you I know that all things are possible, and I can walk on water if you're calling me to you, and it's crazy, yeah. Lord, this scares me, yeah, but it's gonna take crazy faith. So what if it cost everything? I'm stepping out, I'm taking the leap of crazy faith.
Amen. miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. you are.